Don't hit that pause button. I would say turn that dial, but what is this, 1975? Don't hit the pause button, folks. This Week in Mormons is here. It's happening. It's real. Al, this is where you usually cut in and tell me I'm stupid.
No, I was enjoying
this.
Okay, so Jeff, you're a magical man.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We're so glad you joined us this week. And please join us, of course, at thisweekinmormons.com.
We're really, really happy that you're here with us. I mean, in a world of female balladeers, balladettes, we're like Alanis Morissette happy right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's how happy. Not Celine Dion quite yet, but still very aggressively happy, like Jagged Little Pill album happy.
In a world where Alanis Morissette is not upset with her ex-lover, you find
that world doesn't exist.
Dave Coulier, what a jerk.
Alanis Morissette would have had no career if it wasn't for Uncle Joey.
It's so, so true. Two Canadians, once intertwined.
What are the chances
have now been torn
two
asunder?
Canadians falling in love and then breaking up?
Yeah, they tend to come down here and take away our women. That's what they tend to do. They tend to ruin perfectly good Americans. I'm looking at you, Rachel, devout listener.
Who's Rachel?
We stayed at her house in Calgary, my friend.
Oh, she seemed nice.
Yeah. She's a New Yorker, but she has renounced her birthright in favor of the Great White North.
Oh, gross. Jeez. Why?
I know. It's terrible.
No, that never happens.
Regardless.
Was this about when Obama ran for president and she made some quip about if he gets in there, I'm moving to Canada where health care is right?
I don't know if that.
And then he got in and she was like, well, I guess I'm going to Canada now.
I don't know. He was elected before we ever met. Actually, that's not true. He was elected when we were in Scotland. Sorry for outing you, listener.
What?
You. Not you. You.
Well,
if thanks. You could see my hand motions, everything I'm saying.
No,
right
I have
now,
no idea what you're doing, Jeff. You're very confusing right
I
now.
I know. I'm not painting the word picture. This is like
paint,
a... I'm painting
paint
a...
better pictures
this
with
is a
your
Jackson
word.
Pollock word picture. That is what I'm doing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Anyway.
Jeff, how have you been, man?
I'm doing well. Of course.
You are home?
Yeah, we got home. Al, it was great to see you out in Utah.
It was great to see you. Great to have you in my humble abode as we looked out at the Catholic Church.
Some of our time was brief, but it was terrific to see you. We had a lot going on. You know, here's the problem. I realize that I like being in Utah.
Jeff, why is that a problem?
Well, because I don't know. I was looking forward to the trip, but I was surprised how much I genuinely enjoyed being in Utah. I mean, the people are nice and the air, I know it's not always clean, but it's not humid, it's dry and wonderful but your gas is
I can't
more expensive.
Tell if you're complaining about the East Coast or complimenting the Midwest.
It's a little bit of not the Midwest, because I bet Kansas City does not feel as wonderful.
The further west.
Yeah. The mountain west. Intermountain west, as we call it. It was a delightful time to be in Utah. I'm back in D.C. now, but I had a lot of fun.
How were your weddings?
It was just wedding singular, but it was good. The bride and groom said yes.
Oh, good.
So everything.
I'm still waiting for when the bride doesn't show up in the celestial room, and we're like, oh man.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I started hearing some stories from various just friends of friends while we were all kind of hanging out for the wedding. Friends who, like, in one instance, I heard a story of the prospective bride just paced outside of the ceiling room for about 45 minutes before going in. I don't know.
I'd love to see that.
Does that mean the groom just sat there on the bench waiting for her? Because typically they go in together, you know? It's not like he just...
She's like, you go ahead. I'm going to tie my shoe.
Yeah, it's not like he just says, all right.
45 minutes later, he's like, my wife. She's not my wife.
Yeah, he's, you know, let me know. Well, just come in and let me know what you think. I don't know. So I've heard.
How does that, like, am I correct? I thought it was just, it's a sealing and a marriage in the U.S. temples, right?
Yeah.
Like, when that happens, it's all done right there in that one ceremony.
Yes. Yeah. Where have you been? Gotcha. Yes. This is not.
No, hold on. I just had a moment where I was still in Europe, and it was like, oh, so you get married first and then the sealing. That woman, she doesn't realize she's married and just not sealed.
Yeah. You see, so I guess the thing that's interesting that I learned, at least in this wedding, is I think you're technically married without having to do any vows. I mean, church-wise is one thing, but as far as civilly, The sealer usually walks in there with your marriage certificate already signed by the two witnesses before the fact. So you're basically already married according to the law of the land.
Well, no, they've witnessed, but you have to sign that same certificate.
You actually do that before the wedding.
Whoa. Poop got real right
I
there.
I did. When I got married, all the
signs. I would
all
rip this, that up. I would say, give me that and rip it up.
When we got married, all of the signing was before. Afterwards, you just change and go take pictures. That's it. Didn't sign
a
thing.
That's where it gets crazy.
I know. So, anyways, the wedding.
Taking pictures of each other, high-fiving.
I would like to say that you inspired me, though.
I did?
Well, you were great at my wedding. You know, you were great to have there. At first, people weren't dancing like crazy, but you stuck it out until the crowds got thicker, you know?
Oh, yeah. We brought the dance floor up.
Yeah, you hung in there. We had some thinner crowds at this, you would say, and not as many eager dancers. And credit to my wife, though, who is my wonderful partner, but I just went out there and went for it. I didn't care. Usually, I'm more reserved because I don't like looking like an idiot.
You come to a point where you're just like, I'm having more fun out here than you guys are sitting in your chairs judging me.
Eating your crepes. Exactly. So
there. Forget you, because I'm going to remember tonight, and you're not.
So anyways, other than that, just great to be in Utah. Park City is delightful. It smells like trees there, and it's like 50 degrees.
Jeff, I feel like you've been in California too much of your life. When you travel somewhere and you say, ooh, trees.
Al, you go outside at night in Park City and you see stars and just smell coniferous forest.
Jeff, I smell like a coniferous forest always.
Well, that's because you don't use deodorant and you use a little car air freshener.
Yeah, it's the tree. Yeah, I just hang around my,
But I thought of you as I went on a hike up. I took some of the gondolas and the ski lifts up into the mountains and we hiked around and I thought of you riding your bike.
I'll think of you. Well, you thought of me a lot this weekend. I am flattered.
There is always something there to remind me.
Thank you again, Jeff. Wow, you are so complimentary with your song lyrics and genuine compliments. I had a pretty exciting week. I was back in Missouri.
Awesome.
For most of it, I think.
Oh.
And then I was home, and then I was back in Missouri, and then I was home and back in Missouri again. It turned into this flurry of I should have stayed there for some reason. But
had you done that,
well,
we would not have experienced Saturday's waffle together.
It's true. That was great, man. I love Saturday's waffle.
You got to remember.
Those guys are great dudes. Out in the Mount Olympus parking lot. I go every Saturday morning. You're welcome to come and say hi sometime.
Yeah, we're sorry we didn't do a twin party while we were out there. Just time was limited. Al and I only saw each other, for some fleeting moments here and there.
We played half a game of FIFA soccer just for old time's sake. And then you came back and your wife humored us as we played a full game of FIFA soccer. And then you left. That was the extent of our visits.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway.
We had to leave. We had to go clean a condo.
Man, I had another great mountain biking run, though. Such good times out there on those trails. I do love it.
If I lived in Utah, I would get into mountain biking.
You should.
I like to bike.
You all should.
I like it.
Well, anywho, Jeff, crazy stuff in the news this week.
Is that what we're doing now?
Really?
The news?
Really crazy
things. I find that many listeners say they like to listen sometimes when they're busy, only through our bantering, and then they don't always hear the news. So maybe we should just banter for the whole episode, thus increasing our numbers.
What do we care? As long as they start to listen, I get the credit for the listen.
There it is. But yeah, lots of Mormon news is going on this week. It's amazing how much random stuff popped up since we last spoke.
There's a lot of random poop. For instance, Jeff, your favorite, you can't be named Messiah.
What?
Is that a real thing? Did you know that?
According to a Tennessee judge, it is.
Why is this the case?
Well, I guess what happened is there was a kid who was named Messiah, and a Tennessee judge ordered that his name be changed because, quote, that title has only been earned by one person, and that person is Jesus Christ.
What if this was the third coming? No, second coming. We had the first coming. We're waiting on the second. What if this was him, and the judge was like, what if the judge kiboshed the whole order of the second coming?
And if we really didn't understand what the second coming meant. My understanding, though, Al, is that he already has a body. So he doesn't need another one.
All right, that's an excellent point.
So,
I mean, what does that feel like to be the father of the Messiah and then have that taken away from you? We need interviews with these people.
And now his name is just going to be Martin. What's his name? Oh, now his name is going to be Martin. His name has been Messiah Deshaun Martin to now Martin Deshaun McCullough, which makes no sense. So they swapped his last name into his first name and gave him a new last name, I guess.
Boy, this kid.
When you're Messiah, you can do what you want.
You know what's going to happen? Every time he does something bad, his mom's going to be like, I'm really glad you're not named Messiah, because that is not fit for a Messiah to be doing.
So, yeah, I think it's pretty unconstitutional on the judge's end.
I just wonder if the lawyer, when he was standing up arguing his case, he said, you can't do this. You can't name him Messiah. I'll tell you, by the end of this case, there will be a Martin and there will be no Messiah.
I knew you were working into a Testaments reference.
Yeah, no, what if he worked it in? How great would that have been? Just the Korah horror catchphrase? I mean, had I been there, that would be a standing ovation. I would have got the whole crowd going.
I know you would have. That would have been...
And there will be no... And then he points to the kid. Messiah. Yes, that's what should have happened.
The Testaments. What a proud moment for us. Testaments really was like puberty as far as church media.
I'm sorry?
It was like puberty. You look at Legacy. Legacy was...
The Testaments was an awkward makeup.
I'm serious. Think about this. The maturation of our multimedia offerings. Legacy was our first try. You know, we were young. We were naive. We were getting stuff done.
We didn't understand what our body was doing to us.
But then we're
like, what is this thing?
But then our body goes through some changes. And that's when we make the Testaments, which is well-intentioned, sort of awkward, doesn't really know what it's doing, hasn't quite figured out its own skin. And in the end, you look and you say, yeah, that was a strange part of my life.
No, really? You don't have any love for the Testaments?
Look how much we've grown. Then we produced the Joseph Smith movie.
I would have gone much better. Man, I would go Testaments way before I'd go Legacy.
What?
Legacy just left us out to dry.
I'm not saying that the Testaments is worse than Legacy. I think it's just a little more awkward and kind of out there.
Don't agree. No, I do not agree. I do not agree. They had a little ferret thing in there. I thought that was everything you needed in a good movie.
Did you know that the guy who plays whatever his name is, Conifer? Let's call him Conifer because I'm really into coniferous forests.
Coli-Pokey. It's Coli-Pokey.
Conifer. Push, rub out the bad air. In with the good. Out with the bad air. In with the good.
Hey, that really happened.
Moving on then, Al. I have some sad news coming from the church history department.
What? Wait. Are we done with the Messiah?
Do you want to talk more about the Messiah? I mean, what are you going to do with it?
Is that legal? As a valid question, is that legal for a judge to say you can't name your child this?
I don't think so. I mean, I know it's...
I met a girl named LaDacia, and it was spelled L-A-A, pronounced LaDacia.
I mean, it's a judge's job, of course, to interpret the law, but I believe in this case it would be unconstitutional. Because while it might be disrespectful, you can easily argue that it's inappropriate. That's fine. I'll agree with you even. But can we constitutionally, legally deny somebody the right to do that?
Can we?
I think it violates free speech. You can name somebody whatever you want. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. And what if, don't other religions have their own interpretation of who the Messiah is?
Well, there's that.
Is she allowed to rule on this, saying that it can only be Jesus Christ?
That's another good point. And that's a really good point, actually. She's arguing that that is the case.
Jaleesa Martin, if you want legal representation, don't call us, but
no.
Good luck.
Call McKay Coppins. He will help you. Actually, call the missionaries. They will help you.
Ask the missionaries.
It'd be so funny. Elders, can you come defend me in court? Yeah, sure. You know they'd say yes.
Oh, I would have been there.
And they'd just show up and get trampled on. But
And there will be no Messiah.
Okay. Also, one random last thing on here. I've always found it interesting that a lot of other languages, like, for example, many Spanish-speaking kids are named Jesus, which is just Jesus, and it's not considered offensive at all. It's very interesting. I don't know if people do that in the church.
Emmanuel? Though. Why is there Emmanuels? Or why is there Mehar El Hashbaz? Why can you name your kid that and that's somehow better?
Exactly. So,
Isaiah was the only forward-thinking constitutionalist I know.
And why are people named Isaiah, man? I think when I hear Isaiah, I think of Isaiah Thomas, basketball player. See, I knew something about sports.
Well done, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Good work. All right, take us through the sad news. Is this about pornography ripping apart marriages
if,
again?
If you mean that, because of a pornography outbreak, layoffs have hit a third Mormon church department. This time, the family...
This is all about worthiness issues.
No, it's not. But
the church is firing people because they're porn addicts.
Three computer...
McKay Coppins.
Three computer tech staff.
Amazingly, he does not work for the church. I wonder why.
It's true. You do have to have a recommend. Did I tell you, by the way, I got to go in the church office building last week? That was cool.
Why was that cool? It's an office building.
Yeah, but I'd never been in there. I mean, yeah, it's not as cool. I've been in the administration building before. I'm assuming that would be a little more fun to sit in a meeting with, you know, the first presidency or something. But I was there for a little work. And you just get...
If you could...
The security
in
there...
If you had a meeting with the first presidency, Jeff, what would you say?
I'd probably...
What would you meet with them about? You got 10 minutes. You got the whole crew in there. What do you say?
I would be glib, and I would ask for more aviation anecdotes.
Oh, my gosh. This is why America is failing.
I would say, I would like to know three things. President Eyring, please tell me about science. President Uchtdorf, please tell me about being a Czech-German pilot. And President Monson, please tell me about either a widow or some sort of tale that involves the Provo River.
Jeff, you are a terrible person. Okay, anyway, back to layoffs.
Anyways, 13 people in the family history department laid off. Computer tech staffers. Al says these are people like inside the library who just help you do stuff.
I love the headline, layoffs hit a third of Mormon church
No,
department.
It doesn't say it doesn't say a third of. It just says a third, as in two other departments have been hit.
Oh, hit a third.
You're having a Mormon Trek Way moment right now.
Oh, wow. That reads much better.
What happens when you read the words? Peggy Fletcher Stack doesn't make typos. Neither does her editor.
She really doesn't. No. She really doesn't. So, these are... It's weird that they're cutting back at the family history department. What's driving these cutbacks? Just better efficiencies? Or
I believe we have reached critical mass on temples. There's no more genealogy to be done.
Now...
It's done.
You say that facetiously, but that's... I actually have a genuine question about that. I hear stories of like work being done 3 and 4 times, 10 and 12 times for different people, like names that are submitted
and they just send it out to
a bunch of temples. Yeah.
I believe that is part of the problem was everything wasn't so cleanly digitized, and the church has actually for the past couple of years been working to root that out to make sure that way nobody gets done twice.
Do we have any idea how much more done genealogy there is that needs temple work? Should we be spending our time in the temples, or should we be spending it doing indexing and genealogy work and the whatnot?
Well, I think ideally you do both. You do the genealogy work, and then you take those names.
Where is the need right now, Jeff?
You do both. Both.
Don't give me the tract a little so you can always have people in your teaching pool jibber-jabber. I wouldn't, like, are we caught up with the temple work?
No.
Who can we ask? Who would know the answer to that?
That is something that you can ask the first presidency when you have your 10-minute meeting.
Done.
Perfectly done.
I'll wait outside their office.
I don't want to dwell on this topic anymore because it's not really much of a story.
Okay.
That's all.
Let's see here. Let's talk Jell-O for a minute, Jeff. Shall we?
It's like
Can we talk Jell-O? Are you okay with this?
I think LDS Magazine's a little late to the party here, but here they are.
No, so they're making a play to they're launching a new column, and we're very entertained by this. Julie de Azevedo,
well, sort of
sings about killing the Molly Mormon, putting down others, women who try too hard.
Yeah, she sings about being burned out on Mormon culture. Should we listen to like a few seconds of her song?
I really would like to not do that.
I believe we should. That way we can entice our listeners to go and listen to it themselves.
I really don't want to, but if... Okay.
Do you have it queued up?
Sure.
I'm going to listen to it right now. Ready? Go.
Oh, I'm going. Molly Mormon died today.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Now, here's what's bad. Julie de Azevedo, actually, she's had singing lessons before.
And her father is Lex de Azevedo, which is...
Yeah, they should go back to more instrumental type things. I don't. Well, that's not fair. She's a lovely woman. I just don't appreciate her.
Final quote.
Unless she's on an EFY CD, I don't want any part of it.
Word in the ward is okay, that she felt sick when hubby wasn't
she felt sick.
To Jeff. The bishopric.
Did I ever
Jeff,
tell you
so they're
my...
launching this column called The Jello Belt.
Yeah.
Speak of Mormon issues.
Yeah, because Meridian Magazine doesn't do that already.
Why are we talking about this?
I don't get it. Well, mostly because of the video is so awful.
And on... see, what is it?
We take
on
a look.
Facebook, they had a little bit of a bit of banter between Julie De Acevedo and some other people that took issue with her approach to this.
Well, Julie was downright mean.
Why was she mean? She just said, forget you?
Yeah, just like CeeLo Green.
Just like CeeLo.
Stephanie Sego said, I appreciate the sentiment about not having unrealistic expectations for ourselves, but she feels like it's a put down.
Whoa.
For those who do their visiting teaching and who like to bake, Julie De Acevedo Hanks responds, Stephanie, thanks for your comment. The lyrics suggest that she died because she didn't do her visiting teaching before the 5th of the month. She died from drinking one sip of a drink spiked with Diet Coke. And she bought
a
Costco
cake
and claimed it was home-baked.
So she's a liar. That's why they killed her.
Yeah.
That's what this is really about.
All in all, a terrible song that doesn't deserve the 26,000 views it's had on YouTube.
Well, I suspect that we'll be revisiting the Jello Belt, much as we do the Zarahemla Times. Tongue-in-cheek... Excited to
did I ever tell you my Julie De Acevedo story?
No, what happened?
So I worked at Deseret Book for a year or so after my mission before I transferred to BYU. I was in California. And we worked these Time Out for Women things. Any of you female listeners probably know what this is.
Oh, yeah, I know Time
It's just
out
a big
women.
Estrogen convention. It's really exciting.
Whoa.
It is.
Hey, Michael McLean is at
Sorry,
those.
Progesterone as well. Sorry. Okay. So they have speakers, music, a lot of speakers. It's a good little symposium. It's a pretty decent production. Sherry Dew will sometimes show up and speak. So we were there, of course, to sell product as sanctioned by our overlords. And we'd set some stuff up in this little lobby. And Julie De Acevedo had, there were some of her CDs there. And she came out before a lot of the festivities had started. And she was just kind of messing with her table of her her product. Never mind, she doesn't have the authority. I had the authority. I was the Deseret Book employee.
Whoa.
I have the authority, not you, Julie. Okay? But she just, but she walked in very, in a smugly sort of, obviously assuming we should be starstruck sort of way, just said, hi, I'm Julie De Acevedo. As if we were all going to be like,
had you ever met her before?
No, but she said
starstruck.
It. She said it as if we were all just going to say, shut up. No, you're, are you serious?
What happened when nobody did
nobody
that,
did anything, and my buddy worked who I was working with just said, well, hi, I'm Drew. This is Jeff. Nice to meet you. And we just shut her down.
What's up, Jewel? Way to get it, Jeff.
Yeah, Jewel is better. I'd rather listen to Jewel. These foolish games are tearing me apart.
Oh, my gosh. You just made me hate you so much more.
And you're...
All right, let's see. In other news, to file under obvious, BYU is ranked a sober school.
Again.
Well done. They should have interviewed the football team. That might have tarnished the reputation a little bit. Just a suggestion.
I did fail to get some chocolate milk from the creamery when I was in Provo, which...
You didn't fail. Their chocolate milk is meh.
No, it's pretty good. It's not as good as Chateau or whatever, but...
Chateau, but yeah.
Yeah, BYU Stone Cold Sober by the Princeton Review. Great job, guys. Maybe you could win something for academics or hottest women or men.
Jeff, they're not UPenn. It's not going to happen.
I know. Okay, here's a story now. I think you might have some good comments here. So this comes from a guy. This is on the blog Saints and Saints. Which is called...
Oh, that's that Adam Smith guy that does the videos and
it's
stuff.
It's called An Exploration of Mormonism and Eastern Orthodoxy. And he, I guess he's, it's fair. He has a picture of the Hagia Sophia on the front, which was once Orthodox, but now it's a mosque. But whatever. So, this is by...
Is that the, that's the The Istanbul.
Yeah, that's one of the ones in Istanbul. So this is by David J. Dunn. He's responding to a post that he read that was just called 10 Things Every Protestant Should Know About Eastern Orthodoxy. He liked the idea, so he thought we should have 10 Things Every Mormon Should Know About Eastern Orthodoxy. I don't think it will affect us a ton in our day-to-day, but as the church expands into greater Orthodox realms, such as the former Soviet Empire and the Balkan region in general, it might be a good thing to know. And Al, having, I think, of course, you having served your mission out there amongst the Orthodox folks, perhaps you ran into this a bit more, because I am just a...
Yes.
I am immersed in Catholicism, unlike a Catholic baptism.
Run us down here.
Which does not involve immersion.
So Eastern Orthodoxy, this is the Pravoslavnik Church.
Uh-huh, yeah, please say everything to us in Ukrainian.
The Russian Orthodox, Ukrainian Orthodox.
For those who don't know what happened, there was one church, and then there was a schism, a breaking between Rome and Constantinople when the empire split. And that's when the church diverged into what became Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. And then you have smaller ones, like you said, Ukrainian, Russian, it's Greek, whatever. There are... just like anything else, there are forms. So they believe in common consent and priesthood authority.
So just give us the headers, Jeff.
Okay, the Eastern Orthodox Church believes in priesthood authority and common consent. Yes, no?
Yeah, they do.
There's no pope,
though. They sure do. They are just a council of bishops, things of that nature. They don't have a pope. Though when the pope comes to visit, he still gets some Catholics out to see him. I still love that pope.
Well, it's mostly in Western Ukraine, though, where you have...
Papa Rimsky.
All right. The Eastern Orthodox Church is built on foundations of apostles and prophets.
Literally, actually. So in the Lavra, they have dead apostles. Like, they still go down there to kiss the dead bodies.
We've been down there.
Yeah, that's one of the things that they'll say, though, is they'll be like, oh, our church, we've got apostles. We've got some dead apostles down there. That's our jam. They do not have any apostles and prophets today, however.
All right. The Eastern Orthodox Church believes in eternal progression and deification, or theosis, which is, of course, that we can advance to the state of deity.
Yeah, they sort of do believe that. They believe that they'll go with God.
They believe that we are transformed into the likeness of God, or join in union with him.
Yeah, well, it's hard because, like, I mean, God to them is such an abstraction that to be like him, I don't know. It would, like, I would be hard-pressed to get a single Eastern Orthodox person to explain to me how they believe that they will become like God or in eternal progression. Like, as far as they're concerned, it's, and they just, the thousands of people that I spoke with on this topic believe that they just... You know, they'll die and they have some sort of... It's not progression. They just go.
Okay.
They just go.
Here's another one here. Eastern Orthodox Church believes in continuing revelation, visions, and miracles. But here's the caveat. That they accept that people can receive personal revelation from God, visions from God, and that God works miracles. But they reject that there is more revelation.
The church doesn't get any of that.
They reject that there is more revelation that is necessary for salvation, which is pretty common, I think.
Oh, yeah. The church, you know, they finished.
Also,
they finished with the last verse of Revelations... And then somehow they still got all the other books that were written after the last book of Revelation. Crazy how that works.
The next one, of course, pretty straightforward. Priests can be married.
Man, not only can those dudes be married, they got to drive Mercedes. They live in the mansions.
In my opinion, they were...
They got their gold cross banging on their chest, just like that great MIA song.
Mm-hmm.
As they're banging on the dashboard.
Yes.
It all happens.
Yes. I like that one. Now, here, maybe you can understand this one here, Al. Number six is there is no penal substitutionary atonement in Orthodoxy.
What does that even mean?
If you as a Mormon have ever been confused about the atonement or wondered why God literally required a physical punishment so severe that it caused blood to hemorrhage from Jesus' skin, and why God was willing to let an innocent man suffer this punishment instead of us... Just know that this view is late
Western
theory. They
believe that he suffered physically?
Yeah. So in Orthodoxy, Jesus was not sacrificed to satisfy God's wrath, and God did not need Jesus to bleed from his skin in order to forgive us for our sins. So it's not really an eye for an eye sort of thing.
It's actually interesting. The bleeding from every pore is not as common, as commonly understood as you would think, because it's mentioned only, like, it's alluded to in Luke and then mentioned specifically in the Doctrine and Covenants and in the Book of Mormon,
But
that he bleeds from every pore. But in Luke, man, I forget the exact phrasing, but it's not, I mean, it's not as clear as you would think. We just understand it.
But haven't there been modern day prophets that have sort of hinted that it's not even necessarily to be taken literally?
I don't know about that.
I thought I've seen that before. Anyways, Orthodox are not.
No, I yeah, go ahead. Okay.
We got to get through this. Orthodox are not Bible literalists.
They are not. It's true.
So
I don't think, and I think that's good. I think most people should not be Bible literalists.
Also, they believe in fasting and prayer. They will fast many days a year and do that.
Oh, man, those guys fast like mofos. They do.
They believe in temple worship. Of course, they don't have temples that are built separately.
No, they believe in going to their churches. I like all those things. I mean, they have so many holidays. They're the people over there. They go to a lot of church. They really do.
This is what do they do anything that's the same as communion in Orthodoxy? Because I know it's different. If you go to Orthodox churches, they seem more like a synagogue in many ways, and they even have an altar and where they offer quote sacrifice, etc.
You know, I've been to a couple of their Sunday gathering meetings, and I never figured out how to get the sacrament.
And you know how different it is too, how Orthodox churches have a veil of sorts that only the priest is allowed to go back, very much like the old tabernacle and like synagogues today. So there's a lot of interesting similarities there, as opposed to Catholicism, which is, you know, wide open.
Hey man, we all came from like the original churches. They knew what they were doing.
The Orthodox.
Anyway, this is getting boring.
I know.
But
let's see. They don't believe
in very interesting.
No ecumenical councils, and they believe in mysteries, but not in incoherence.
Yeah, yeah. They believe that like God will help them with stuff, but you know, they draw the line where it gets hard to believe. Which I think, in all fairness, I think most Mormons do too. Right? Say a prayer, help me to get to work safely. Great, thank you, God. You helped me save my baby. I'll pray for it, but let's not expect anything crazy to happen here.
Well, cool. Well, we hope you enjoyed that lengthy foray into the Eastern Orthodox Church.
It just happened.
There we go.
You know what's better than that?
Tell me.
LL Cool J tweeted out, "Without hard work, nothing grows but weeds." Hashtag Gordon B. Hinckley. Boom.
Now, wasn't it P. Diddy who, was it last year, 2 years ago, that tweeted an L. Tom Perry quote?
Yeah, LTP.
So now we've got LL. It's like, what's up? I really want to know if these guys like have an understanding of whom they are actually quoting.
No, do you have an understanding of who you, like, you find a great quote in a book.
Yeah, and you just
toss it up there. You're like, yeah.
Well, sometimes I like to at least know who it might be to have an idea. I wonder if they look this up and say, oh.
Without hard work, no one will believe you.
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson.
Like, exactly. That's why you got to be careful. But
I already bought the tickets.
But I love this. Steve Young, folks, former superstar for the San Francisco 49ers, is going to show up there in Utah for a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender conference. It's called Affirmation. It's the oldest and largest organization of gay Mormons. And Steve and his wife will be speaking at it.
Whoa. Oh, I misread that second paragraph, and I got right to the who won the reality TV show, So You Think You Can Dance. I thought Steve Young was on that for a second, but it was actually the gay Mormon Benji Schwimmer.
Yeah, and then I was worried that Benji Schwimmer was from this year on So You Think.
How great would that be if Steve Young was on So You Think You Can Dance?
Anyway,
I think that's good. Obviously, his wife was a very outspoken supporter of the gay and lesbian community during the Prop 8 stuff, and they actually have, you know, there's plenty of story of how he and his wife had to come to, you know, their conclusion that they would not have the vote no or yes on Prop 8. I forget which way we had to vote, but they wouldn't let him. Because back in California, the bishops would say, put these signs in your yard. And all, like, it was an elders' quorum activity to go and put these signs in people's yards.
Not really. It was sort of.
It was. I was there for it. Jeff, we were in the same ward.
You were there for part of it.
Do you not remember Alex, who was it, Scott or whatever, that like had to get up and they had the bins of signs that they were trying to hand out and stuff, bumper stickers?
I know. They repeatedly.
How awful would it be to have a bumper sticker on your car right now then?
I would hate to have any kind of a bumper sticker on my car. What, bumper stickers in general are just stupid.
Bad ideas, but like Yeah, so they were against it all through the 4A, and so I think they're great to have as spokespeople for people that are both Mormon and supportive of the gay community. They've been there since the beginning.
Well, so, I mean, yeah, cool. He played for the 49ers. He was at Ground Zero.
I'm not sure why the 49ers is Ground Zero for the gay and lesbian community, but sure.
San Francisco, sure. Al. San Francisco.
But sure.
San Francisco. At least for now, until the Giants move to Santa Clara, which is going to be so sad. Not the Giants, the 49ers.
Anyway.
Good.
So, let's see. There's another story in the Huffington Post about anti-Mormons protesting at the Hillcomore pageant.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been going on for years. We talked about this a number of times. We've discussed it here on the show, I think last year, 2 years ago. They put up those big speakers to drown them out.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I love that whole model of disrupting protesters. Just like playing Love Is Spoken Here so loud that they cannot
That seems so classic Utah, like saying through strained teeth something like, "Oh, hi, honey, it's so nice to see you." You know, just this very pleasant demeanor that's really got a very, very dark agenda.
I'm ready for the the very aggressive, let's throw down, sort of the haka of Mormon hymns. We need a good strong "I'll beat you up" Mormon hymn.
Yeah, do we have
one? Along with all the other charity ones that we've already
got. We do have Victory, Victory. That one's pretty good.
Behold a Royal Army.
That one's pretty good. Ye Elders of Israel. I feel like that's at least got some pop to it.
If we did the Motab version of Put Your Shoulder to the Wheel, and we'd just be like, push, 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 push.
Whenever I do hear a bass line like that, I think of the Motab version of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Truth is marching, truth is marching, truth. You know that?
Yeah, that could work. All right, so anyway, people are realizing the absurdity of this, which is good. I feel like we need more attention brought to the fact that people go out of their way just to go and try and disrupt good things that we do.
And the majority of the ones who show up in Palmyra are former members of the church as well, and so they've really got an axe to grind, try to save people. But I like that the article describes it as something of a DMZ between the official crowds and the space that's set aside for the protesters. It's like the Patriot Act kind of stuff. Here is your right to protest, land. We welcome your dissent. Please enjoy.
I've been up to that at Palmyra pageant a couple of times, and man, they get crazy up there. It gets intense.
And I've never been, but I imagine you've got everybody then on the other side of that road is where the protesters have to hang out.
I wonder if they have any, is it still fun for them to see Jesus come down in that play? I mean, they got to pause for a second and be like, well, that's cool. I mean, just from a theatrical standpoint.
What's he lowered from? I mean, there's no, stage to hide stuff above anything. Is there a crane?
I'm not exactly sure, because everything goes dark and then they just have the one dressed in white dude coming down from heaven. I mean, it's very, I don't know, just spurs the imagination. Like if you ever try and imagine what a second coming would be like, it's hard to imagine.
I picture lots of fire
things. Yeah. I mean, a lot of maybe rapture-esque, do you?
Yeah, maybe. Do you ever think that Moroni is looking down?
That'd be disappointing.
Do you ever think Moroni?
I'm more excited for the show, not the fire and brimstone, but just be like, oh, good, we're here. Well, I've been waiting for you. I've been faithfully not having sex for a number of years so that you would come and I would be on the good side.
Do you think Moroni looks down from heaven and he's kind of like, guys, this was a hill where I gave you the Book of Mormon, and this is what you've made it into? This.
You put feathers on my head?
Admittedly, part of it's kind of funny. It's a very sacred spot in the history of Mormondom. And instead we build a stage on the thing and put on this wild pageant, which I know is a faith-promoting pageant, but still.
True.
We don't treat it with a solemnity, I guess you could say.
Well, we do all the other days of the year, just not during that one pageant.
So, good. I look forward to World Temple Play Day. When instead we have one-act plays in the temple.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be great.
So here's the thing from, if I pronounce it correctly, Funky. Funky consulted.
I don't know what you're trying to say, Jeff.
Informafica.
Jeff, what are you getting at? Stop this nonsense.
Derevo.
Derevo trees?
Mirovi.
World?
Religions.
All right, stop. What's going on?
World Tree Infographic. Not directly related to our church, but we...
Are you talking about a feminist girls camp?
No, I'm talking about the World Religion Tree.
Oh.
We posted it earlier. I don't have much more to say about it, but it is a cool way to represent all of the world faiths in a tree-like format. And funnily enough, Mormonism, we make it down there at the bottom right, but they seem to regard us as some sort of Protestant. We're right in line with the Czechoslovak Hussite Church and the Italian branch of Reformed churches. And right next to the Zoroastrians, so...
There's the John Wesley Reform. Attaboy.
So I guess it's kind
Mormonism
of fair...
Mormonism, or Latter-day Saint movement.
Yeah. At least they call us Christians.
We've got that going for us.
I mean, I guess it makes sense, because the only way to adequately represent it would to show some sort of branch that just stops and then reappears somewhere else, or just have a straight line. Just... You know, bypass everything else.
True. I like that the Union of Catholic Czechoslovak Clergy also made it in
there.
Yeah,
no, they're right.
Well done, guys.
So it's just interesting. I think it's actually one of the cooler ways I've seen to conceptualize all this information, and it's worth taking a look at if you have something.
There are a lot of religions out there.
There are, and it's fun to see it colorized like this because you see how much Christianity thickens things up. You can see the schism in Islam, for example. Very clearly.
What's the yellow over here? What's that?
On
one?
The where on the left?
Yeah.
Let's look. It's probably Shinto.
Soka Gaki.
My guess is it's Shintoism.
It is Shinto.
No, it's Confucianism.
No.
We've got Taoism, Buddhism, Hindu, blah blah blah.
Anyway, you love this stuff. You'll look at this all day.
I probably will, so we need to stop.
There's a great, let's just do two or three of these, Jeff. The Name That Prophet or Apostle.
I called it that.
Quiz that the Deseret News put up. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for this. What do I remember from General Conference?
God is not the author of confusion, but is the author of peace. Who said it?
Did you?
Quintel Cook, David A. Bednar, Dean Davies.
Oh, boy. Let's say...
God is not the author of confusion, but is the author of peace.
They didn't give me the answer in the slide.
Quentin L. Cook.
Probably Quentin L. Cook, because Quentin rocks.
He did.
Catch the Wave is obvious.
All right, ready? Terrific marriages are completely respectful, transparent, and loyal. Who said it? Well, Neil Anderson, Whitney Clayton, or Elder L. Whitney Clayton, or... Sister Mary N. Cook.
I remember that being...
If your middle name was Whitney, why would you abbreviate your first name?
I don't know. I seem to remember that one being Elder Clayton, though. He gave a talk on marriage.
L. Whitney. Temple, terrific marriages are completely respectful, transparent, and loyal. Anyway, kind of fun to go through.
Yeah.
I feel like flashcard sort of memory game should be played with every conference. So thank you.
I can get behind it. I dig it. Also, there was a feminist girls camp.
I knew they were coming.
A feminist girls' camp. They had girls' camp, but not officially. And rather than pitch tents, they burned bras.
Way to go.
Yes.
Way to go, feminists. Wait, so these are like 13-year-olds that are sick of the oppressive chauvinist regime, right?
Yeah, I guess so. They hung out.
Do I misunderstand feminism? I think feminism is a little more mainstream than maybe we know. I think of feminism as like the 60s feminism that I know back then, not of like no more glass ceilings and let me work in management.
There we go. This seems more like it was in the sense of being a feminist to honor more women in the church, which is like they all wore Eliza Arsenault t-shirts. And
I'm all for that.
They also wore feminist bonnets. I'm not quite sure what qualifies a bonnet as a feminist one. If any of you have...
It's one with a big middle finger pointed at all men. That's what they wore.
And then they sang songs and, you know, made s'mores and talked about prominent feminists or women in church history.
Neat.
And then they could choose to discuss either gender violence, reproductive rights, or rape culture.
Oy.
So it sounds like a pretty uppy weekend, all told.
It sounds like an awful way to spend girls. What did most women do? Canoeing. They did canoeing and
they braid
three-legged races.
They braid each other's hair. They tell each other secrets.
Make friendship braids out of that floss. That's what they're doing.
Buddy bands. They make buddy bands.
So the Book of Mormon
is
Jeff,
true.
Also, it is an academic text. Now there's a class at the U of U where it examines the Book of Mormon as a literary text, which, I mean, from a literary context, wouldn't it be hard to give a lot of clout to that?
Maybe, but I suppose they could figure out how to do it.
Grammar is bad, non-fluency is everywhere. And it came, I mean, run-on sentences galore.
Yeah, but I mean, in the same sense, you know, they have classes that study the Bible from a strictly scholarly perspective, so I guess you could do the same with the Book of Mormon.
What will they find, Jeff? Is it all chiasmus and, like, crazy stuff
We
like
might
that,
as well face it. They're going to spend most of their time in the second, in the latter half of 2 Nephi.
Are you suggesting they won't get past the Isaiah chapters?
They're just going to focus on the Isaiah chapters. The rest is too straightforward. And then the war chapters in Alma, just skip them.
Those are the best part.
Yeah, but what are they going to do? Treat it like Hamlet or something like that? Or they're like, now I have it on good authority that Moroni poisoned the tip of his spear.
I like that in your mind, an academic class is going to be acting out the Book of Mormon.
Wouldn't that be way more fun?
That would be way more fun.
My other
That's some of my favorite memories of like missionaries in my youth was when they would make us act out plays like scalping Ammonihah with my sword. They would like help us tumble and roll as we got.
At youth conference I used to do my Tiancum impression and I would just try to sneak in everyone's tents and you know stab them.
Jeff, that's very sexual. And they probably did not appreciate you sneaking into their tent to poke them. And that's why they tried to kill you.
I intentionally said stab instead of poke. I knew what words I was using.
Jeff, you can't give a Tiancum impression of sneaking into people's tents. Oh my gosh.
The other, of course, big question on this, does this mean now that the Book of Mormon will be sold at, you know, at a 400% markup in the bookstore at school?
Yeah, except it'll have an index.
Because now it's a text
beyond,
book, so.
Beyond the index that it has. Or it'll be republished by some guy in large print format with pictures.
Yes.
So that today's academic elite can actually digest it.
There we go. Lastly, folks, before we go, there's an article here in Slate by David Rosenberg about a guy named Michael Freeberg who is doing a photo essay about Mormon culture in Utah. And the first image they use are people dressed up like pioneers so that everyone will think that we are polygamists.
Oh, good.
But it was just Pioneer Day. It's an ongoing photo essay. I don't think there's anything totally groundbreaking. It seems like he really only took photos on Pioneer Day or during conference. You get a guy singing outside the conference center, a really desperate woman who puts her phone number on her car, and she's from the 909, so you know she's, you know, from the 909, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
You know, people in the conference center, no playing on Sunday in a church-owned park in Provo, which obviously means the one across the street from the MTC. I hope he develops it more. It's kind of cool to see all these things about Utah Mormonism, and then I would love for him to branch out and show Mormonism elsewhere.
With his photos.
And that's it.
That's what you want. Did you know that Kevin Beckstrom has a legal page now, thanks to us?
No! I just saw you link this. May I read this briefly?
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. Just as we leave.
Should I do it by Kevin Beckstrom impression?
No.
Okay. We remind readers that our content is protected by the Federal Copyright Act and cannot be reproduced elsewhere without written permission. The Copyright Act protects intellectual property rights, even for cartoons. It allows readers to make fair use of copyrighted content. Readers are allowed to quote a small amount of copyrighted material for comment, review, or even criticism. We have much of that. These small excerpts can include links to the site where the full content can be viewed. However, Copyright law does not allow anyone to copy and display most or all of a graphic without written permission. To do so is a violation of copyright. We'd rather not resort to legal means to address such infringements, but we will if necessary. Al, I'd like to thank you for over 2 years of ticking off Kevin Beckstrom since he sent us his cease and desist.
We do what we can.
So what I'm getting
for those of you who don't, if you don't know the story, a couple of years ago we used to do a Zarahemla Times, which is an awful comic strip done by a man named Kevin Beckstrom, who's a sad individual in Salem, Oregon, and he draws these cartoons that make no sense. We can't understand them, and so he gets zero comments, zero views, and he has forever. And so we started posting things on them and asked people to go comment on his stuff.
And we would post his material on our site. We'd post the strip.
Yeah, we'd show the...
But we'd link totally. It. If you clicked it, it would link straight to his website. That's how we did it.
We didn't feel bad about it at all. And then he freaked out and sent us a cease and desist order. Instead of an email saying, hey, could you guys not do that? He sent us a legal cease and desist order, which Jeff forced me to comply with.
I was twisting your arm to get you to stop doing Zarahemla Times. That was really hard for you.
Yeah, well, I hated it anyway, but I mean, the cease and desist made me want to...
So if you want to play a fun game, listeners, if you go to thisweekinmormons.com, and if you look through our posts, if you see any that show a picture of Kevin Beckstrom with bright red eyes that says, Beckstrom says no, that will mean that is a placeholder image from whence there was once... a different Zarahemla Times picture. But I'm gathering from this that it says, as it says right here, anyone to copy or display most or all of graphic without written permission. So I take that to mean if we display under 50% of his images, we're in the clear.
Yeah, oh yeah, Jeff.
So I think from now on I'm actually going to crop his images and just show random little bits of it and then link.
I say we give up. But anyway, it was entertaining to see that he had a legal
I'm really glad you found that, actually. It made my day.
All right, everybody. Well, you have a great week. Mormonism goes on. We just do the news. You can find us at thisweekinmormons.com or at facebook.com/therealtwim. No. facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. We appreciate everybody that's been liking our page. You're doing great.
Yeah, and at The Real Twim on Twitter is what Al meant to say. Of course, find us on YouTube, which is youtube.com/TweeMormons, which we need to change, but I can't figure out how to do.
This Week in Mormons.
Just search for This Week in Mormons on our YouTube channel.
It makes sense.
Where you can watch videos and do other great things on there. And we also hope that you will look for Sunday School Bonanza, where we get you ready for gospel doctrine. And lastly, sign up for our mailing list for general Twim stuff and for the gospel doctrine sesh things. Gospel study sesh, as Al is calling it, which we are hoping to debut this weekend.
It will be great.
If all goes well. Now it's on the record, so I'm holding you to it, Al.
All right, I'm done. I'm in. All right, buddy. See you, Jeff.
Okay, sounds good. So thanks. Bye, Al. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Twim. Can't do it without you.
Jeff, I'm leaving. I'm gone.
Okay, well, have a good week, everybody. Bye. Bye.
In the dead of night, you come knocking at my door. Say you love me, I can't see what for. And it feels like something you'd believe. Wistful longing, searching for a reprieve. Your shoes are wet, I tell you to come near. So much to say, so much to feel. And it feels like something you could see. A touch or taste or smell at 2:45. And it feels like something you'd believe. Wistful longing, searching for a reprieve. Misery, misery, misery. Misery. touch is worth it still. Use me, abuse me, run me through the mill. And it bleeds like nothing you've seen. Like a chain link fence running through a tree. And it feels like something you'd believe. Wistful longing, searching for reprieve. Misery, 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 misery. Misery, misery, misery.